So in addition to corporations, which are pretty basic, we all understand and we know that there's a corporation. We might not know how it works, but we know it exists. In addition, there are things like limited liability companies, limited partnerships, individual retirement accounts, Roth IRAs, educational IRAs, irrevocable trusts, charitable remainder trusts, real estate privacy trusts, offshore asset protection trusts, all sorts of different types of entities that are going to provide benefits to different people in different ways. What I want to do is just talk about a couple of these real quick, because we don't have the time in this course to get real specific on them. But I want to make sure that you're aware of them. So if you sit down with a planner, with a lawyer, or with somebody, you can be aware of some of the options that are there and make sure that they're aware of the options as well. These other entities include partnerships, limited liability companies, trusts, irrevocable trusts, offshore trusts, onshore trusts, domestic, all sorts of different entities that are designed to protect your assets from attack, help you to minimize the erosion that's caused by taxes and other types of things like that. Another real important thing is to pass your assets on to whoever you want to with minimal government interference or family interference and with very little taxes. And that's estate planning, which is something that's real important. Let me give you an idea by talking about partnerships. A partnership is simply an agreement between two or more people that they will pursue some business objective for profit, usually, that they will share the profit according to the agreement based on whatever the terms are, and that they will each be responsible for the debts and liabilities of the others, which are incurred. So a general partnership simply says that you and I are going to go into business together, we're going to do something, and we're both going to be liable to some extent for what happens there. A limited partnership, though, is a bit different. A limited partnership says that there's going to be two different types of partners. A general partner, let's say I'm the general partner, I'm going to be actively managing this partnership, I'm going to be liable for what happens here. But the limited partners aren't going to be. They are limited partners. Limited partners aren't liable. Limited partners are generally considered investors. So a general partner would be the person working, and the limited partners would be like a shareholder of a corporation not working in the business, so therefore not personally liable. And this brings us to an entity called the Family Limited Partnership, which is a powerful asset protection tool, as well as providing many tax benefits and estate planning benefits. Usually a Family Limited Partnership is set up by one person in the family. He becomes or she becomes a general partner, and every other member of the family becomes a limited partner. So what a Family Limited Partnership does basically is it allows a family to control its assets. It makes sure that assets don't get taken or attacked by a spendthrift kids. You can control how much your kids spend. By ex-spouses that want to come back and attack their spouse, they can't have access to items or assets in the Family Limited Partnership. Let's say that there's 10 of us in this Family Limited Partnership. I'm the 17-year-old crazy son that takes the car that's owned by the partnership. I run into my neighbor's prize begonia patch. It's worth $1 million in some show and I don't know where. And all of a sudden, she wants to sue the family or me or whatever she can to see what she can get. Well, if she were able to sue, she could sue the owner of the car, which would be the limited partnership. Let's say she goes to court and she gets a judgment against the partnership. What happens is when she gets a charging order, which means she can't charge in and grab the assets. She has to wait until we distribute the assets to the son in order to get paid, which, of course, if the alternative is distributing assets and having them go to the neighbor who's got some pretty flowers, probably not going to do that as the general partner. So it lets you protect the assets wherein if the car was in my name and my son was driving it and I owned a house and he were to get into trouble, then I would be risking the house, my personal assets, my investments on my crazy 17-year-old son that we know is going to get in trouble. And so it lets the family prepare for the bumps in the road, but not risk their entire portfolio doing it. It also lets the family divide its income among family members and maybe distribute some of the income that would go to a higher taxed person to a lower taxed person. It allows a family to control its estate and minimize estate taxes by gifting of assets to the limited partnership. When one partner passes, the partnership doesn't close down. It just moves on to the new partners. It allows a family to arbitrate its disputes. If the assets are inside of the partnership and there's language in the partnership that says, here's how we resolve stuff, it has to go by that agreement. So a family limited partnership is powerful on a lot of different levels, on personal levels as well as legal and asset protection and taxation levels. So let's talk about a limited liability company, or what we call an LLC. The limited liability company is a hybrid between a corporation and a partnership. And what it does is takes the best of both of those and puts them together. Members can choose to be taxed as a corporation or as a partnership. They can choose to receive distributions in certain ways. A real popular use for the LLCs is to actually be the general partner in a limited partnership. The LLC provides a little tighter asset protection, and so by having that be the general partner, you're reducing your personal exposure in managing the family's assets. The LLC is run by an operating agreement that's a very private document held between the members and managers and a director of the LLC. if you have an international one, it's often kept in the jurisdiction the LLC is created in to make that unavailable to creditors, to a spouse, a business partner, someone that might at some point have a reason to say, hey, I'm mad at you. I want to ruin your life. How about if I sue you? And so it keeps your privacy, I think, really intact, where a partnership is fully open to each partner. I would have to say that the LLC is a very powerful structure domestically or even internationally.
Now, would an international limited liability corporation be of interest to someone who does business exclusively in the United States?
Sure. Actually, let's use a state that's got an income tax, because that's the easiest thing to understand. If I have a California company, and that company is earning profits, it's going to pay a state income tax as well as a federal income tax. Well, if I want to go offshore, right, which really means extra jurisdictional or outside the United States or your domestic country, whatever is out of their jurisdiction. Well, a Nevada corporation is actually offshore to California. It is outside California's jurisdiction. So when we say that we're going offshore international, it just means that we're trying to use a tax or asset protection or a business law in a different jurisdiction that's outside of my own. So in order to escape a state tax and to avoid it legally out of California, I may form a Nevada corporation. I have that Nevada corporation legally contract with a California corporation and for services, pay it income. And that income that it earns is now earned in Nevada. It escapes state taxes. It's got to be set up properly. There's a way to do it. If you do it, that's what happens.